I always come to this particular lesson in the Gospel of Matthew with some trepidation, because it seems that this Pharisee that came to ask Jesus this question had a very special profession. It was being a lawyer. Now, those of you who know my academic pedigree know that I am not just a lawyer, but I'm a church lawyer dealing in church law, so I'm sort of like this guy in the gospel lesson. And so I'm always a little fearful when I hear it, because I am afraid that I might get the same kind of answers that he got and be reduced to fear to ask any more questions. But that might be just a tad short-sighted if we leave it there and worry about what's happening in the gospel lesson relative to the lawyer, and instead look at this gospel lesson from a few different perspectives, because there's a lot there. It's probably one of the better known of the gospel lessons. And in fact, if we were celebrating Rite One, we would open up the prayer book to the beginning of Rite One, we actually hear these words of Jesus that are recited every Sunday. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all the mind. And the second is like it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's even the way I say it at 8 o'clock. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. And at first we might think Jesus is pretty smart, because he gives a rather interesting answer. Well, it's not so smart. Not that I'm saying Jesus isn't smart, that's not my point at all. But in fact, Jesus is answering the Pharisee lawyer very much what the Pharisee lawyer would expect Jesus to answer. After all, the Pharisees were the school of thought that were all about the righteousness of God. In fact, if you would go to an Orthodox Jewish home, in most cases you would find at the lintel, at the portal to the main door of the house, where you go in and out, a little box, and in that box, which is called a mezuzah, you would find a tiny little parchment that would have these very words written on it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It is known in Jewish spirituality as the Shema, from the first word. Hear, O Israel. Shema Israel. And so it's placed on the doorpost so that as you come and you go, you are made aware of this fundamental command. And so, in religious practice, often you touch it and then touch your lips afterwards so that you make the words that are enclosed in the box your own. So when you stop to think about it, Jesus' answer wasn't all that special. Because after all, just about every righteous Jew would have answered the question probably in the same way. And then there are some people who would say, well, then Jesus made it extra special because then he said, then you should love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's no different either. In fact, that's a quote right out of the book of Leviticus. Again, a good Pharisee, particularly a student of the law, of the Torah, would know this phrase very, very well. And Jesus puts the two together. And some would say, well, that was the special piece of this. And actually, that's probably also not all that special. What was special in some ways is that Jesus had the audacity to say that this is the total summary of all the law and the prophets. We stop to think about it a little bit. Command, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, that is the whole sum and substance of the Torah. That all 637 or however many rules that there are in there are really focused on getting you to focus on God as the center of your life. And that this other rule, love your neighbor as yourself, while also in the Torah, and one of those 600-some rules, is actually the summary of the prophets. Because if we look at the prophets carefully, while the prophets are always calling us back to right worship of God, more often than not, they are concerned with justice among God's people, the right relationships between God's people. And the prophets are constantly teaching us that only when we have right relationships amongst the people God has created will we have a right relationship with God. So, we stop to think about it a little bit. The answer isn't all that special. We like to think it is because it's our Jesus who said it. But what makes it special is a few other things that we need to think about. You notice that Jesus then turns it on them and starts asking them questions. And in fact, he asks them the question about the Messiah. And he had that little back and forth about the Son of David and all of that. Why is that there? Well, you need just a little bit more information to help it start to make sense. Because you see, if you read Matthew's gospel from cover to cover, you begin to realize that this little scene that we're witnessing today is happening on the Monday of Holy Week. It's happening on the day after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And just as this was happening, they had in their memory the shouts of the crowds proclaiming Jesus to be the Messiah. And in fact, if you recall our worship on Palm Sunday, what is it that we sing? Hosanna to the Son of David. That's what would be echoing in the memory of the people to which Jesus was speaking. And I think one of the more important sentences is a rather kind of almost you gloss over it, don't think about it at all, is the first one. Having heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. Now, who are the Sadducees? Well, we could think of them this way. It's sort of a rough analogy. But you could think of the Pharisees as the rural clergy. Because they were the leaders of the synagogue communities. They were the ones who focused primarily on the Torah, on the law. They were the ones who led worship on Sabbath day. They were the ones who were in the synagogue morning, noon, and night to say their prayers for the people. Now the Sadducees, they were the cathedral clergy. They were the ones who were concerned about right worship. They were the ones who put everything together in the temple sacrifice. That temple in Jerusalem where the altar almost never had a rest, that there would be sacrifice being offered and smoke going up day and night. And that the temple liturgies were quite ornate and quite profound. I mean, that's why people went to temple, because you were really blown away by it all. Not unlike when we go to a very big Episcopal service. And there are crosses and choirs and acolytes galore and great music, and we're sometimes blown away by it. Oh, that made me a Sadducee. Ooh, okay. Well, maybe not. Because we're in the outskirts. We're not at the cathedral, are we? So maybe we could be Pharisees instead. And so we immediately apportion to this particular Pharisee bad motives. But we don't know that for sure. It's never said that anywhere. Maybe having heard the people proclaim this Jesus the Son of God, the Son of David, the Messiah, maybe looking for the Messiah, he was simply testing, it said it was to test him. Maybe he was testing Jesus to make sure his heart was in the right place. Because many false messiahs had come before, false messiahs who were trying to grab on to power and to prestige and try to lead God's people simply in their own name and not in the name of the Lord God. And so he asked Jesus this question. What is the great commandment? And Jesus answers in kind, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This Pharisee probably, in fact, in another gospel text says, you have answered rightly. And so this Pharisee is probably pretty happy with this answer. And then he goes on to expound, Jesus does, about loving neighbor as self. And so the Pharisee, also a student of the prophets, is going to like that answer too. And so maybe he's testing Jesus to see, well, if all the people are acclaiming him to be the Messiah, maybe he's the Son of David, maybe I can get on board too. But you see, he had silenced the Sadducees already. And that's the other thing that we need to know. You know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they didn't get along. They were at odds with each other all the time. And so maybe this Pharisee lawyer wanted to know this about Jesus so that he could say, yeah, he's a Pharisee. He's one of us. He can be our leader. But Jesus turns it on him and he says, well, David says this in the psalm. How can that be so? And they can't answer him. They don't really know. They don't understand. So they're not getting the right understanding of what a Messiah really is. They're still looking for their political deliverance under the hand of Rome. Jesus is of a different kingdom. He's a different kind of Messiah. And notice here that at the end of this lesson, suddenly they had no more questions for him. They were afraid to ask him any more questions. And so what did they do? They started going to their back rooms and plotting against him. Because maybe it was all too clear to them that this was the Messiah, but he wasn't about the business of delivering from the oppressive hand of Rome. And they didn't want that kind of Messiah. So they started plotting against him, and not 4 days later, Jesus would be hanging on a cross. Well, that's the story. What does it mean for us? Well, maybe you see what the lawyer is really trying to get at is he's trying to find out where the heart of Jesus really is. And Jesus answers rightly. Jesus' heart is in the right place. Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe we could ask ourselves that question. Where is our heart? What is at the very core of our existence? What is the very core of our being? What is it that gets us up in the morning? What is it that, and some people say, gives you juice to get going, to do things, to make decisions in the course of the day? Where is your passion? That will tell you where your heart is. Isn't it what Jesus said? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what he was talking about. Where you place all of your emphasis, your core value, that's going to be your God. Oh, this answer that we have, that's one we all learned in catechism class a long time ago. Why did God make me? God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world so we can be happy forever with him in the next. What is the great commandment? It is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We say that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But is it a true statement about the core of our being, about where our hearts really are? Is it what gives us passion? Is it what gives us juice in the morning? What is it what helps us to make decisions in the course of our day? Let me give you an example. Many well-meaning folks, particularly parents, will very easily say when you ask, what is the center of your life as a family? They'll say, well, our children We'd do anything for our children. We love children with all our heart, mind, and soul, to you borrow a phrase. And yet, how many families in our society, in our world, who would say that are all too absent from their children because they're too busy about doing all the things that need to be done for their children to make sure that they have all the things and privileges of this world? How many missed dinners or missed soccer games are there? How many times are absent parents? And yet, they would claim that this is the center of their lives. But the question is it really? We could do that with this notion of loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbor as ourselves as well. Because we need to look at the things we do, where we put our energies, how we make decisions in the course of our daily lives, to see if this truly is the very core value of who we are. If it's where our heart really, really is. Well, probably few of us would be able to say that with any true and absolute conviction. Most of us will miss the mark. Ah, miss the mark. That is what sin is, brothers and sisters. For the word that is in the scriptures in the New Testament that is translated sin is hamartia. It means simply missing the mark. It means going off in a different direction. Maybe we would say and profess with our earnest heart and soul when we are in church on Sunday, I love God with all my soul, strength, and mind, and I love my neighbor as myself, and really sincerely intend and mean that as the words are being said, but it hasn't found its way into the very core of our being. You see, because it is not easy to love God that way. It is not easy to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because this is where the heart of Jesus was and is. But it cost Jesus his life. How many of us are willing at any moment in our lives to make that same self-sacrifice? We more than likely would miss the mark. But you know what? That's okay. It's all right. If we're trying to put our heart in the right place, if we're trying to make this the very core of our value system, that's enough for God. Because as this same sentence is recited at the beginning of our liturgy in the Rite One service, in that same service we say a prayer just before we receive Holy Communion, where we claim that our Lord is our Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. So regardless of how many times we sin, how many times we miss the mark, we have every confidence that if we're trying our utmost, if we are trying to make this more and more completely the center of our lives, then in fact God is there for us. And God is there to help us. And God is there, even as we stray off the mark, to throw his arms around us and gently bring us back to the right way. If our hearts are open to his life and his love, to his spirit. You know, he probably won't ask us to give up our lives on a cross as he did Jesus. But in fact, if we truly profess that Jesus is the Lord, is the Messiah, and we follow the way he has set out for us, it is possible. And we must accept that possibility. And once we accept that possibility for the whole of our lives, then the small things that happen along the way don't seem so big. And we begin to see that Jesus is leading us on a path a path that actually leads us to a risen life, to a life that lasts forever. But it begins with this simple command. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. And there is a second like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets.